the first day of Teves, the Shchedesh Teves. The Tanya is in the middle of chapter 4, where the Alter Rebbe is explaining the garments, describing the garments of the Neshama. The Neshama has three garments, thought, speech, and deed, and these are called garments for two reasons. First of all, because they reveal the powers of the Neshama. The Neshama, when it wants to express itself, either its intellect or its emotions, it has to express itself through a garment. Just like when a person wants to go out, he wants to make himself known. He makes himself known through his garments. The garments that he wears tells people who he is and what he stands for and so on. So the garments serve the purpose of the Neshama, of that which wants to reveal itself through the garments. And in that sense, the garments are lower than the person himself or than the powers of the soul. They are vehicles that carry and reveal the Neshama itself or the person himself and so on. The other function of the garment is that it enables the person, or in this case the Neshama, to come in contact with something that might be even greater than itself. It gives you access to something outside yourself. And that's what the Alter Rebbe continues now with the words Vihine Shloisha Levushim in Perek Dalet of Tanya. Vihine Shloisha Levushim Eilu Me'atayla Mitzvaseho. These three garments of Teda and Mitzvahs, the garments of the godly soul, which are thought, speech, and deed of Teda and Mitzvahs, although we call them garments, garments to the neshama, and a garment implies that it is inferior, less important than that which wears it. Im kol ze gveya v'godla, my losam le'en ketz v'seif. Yet their quality, the significance of these garments, are greater and infinitely greater al-mailas nefesh ruach neshama atzma, over the qualities and the virtues of the neshama itself. How could it be that a garment should be more substantial, should have greater value than the thing or the person who is wearing the garment? K'mesh kosev b'zeyar, because as it says in the Zohar, De'iraisa v'kutsha b'richa kulachad, that God and Teda are one, or that the Teda is one with God. Pirush, De'iraisa hi chachmasa eritzeine shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Teda being God's wisdom and God's will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chveidei v'atzmei, kulachad, and God himself is all one, indivisible. Ki hu hayideya v'hu hamada, because he is the knower and he is the knowing, the knowledge. K'meshakos of Le'il B'Shem HaRambam, as we said earlier in the name of the Rambam. So the point that Alter Rebbe is making is that through the garments, through the action, speech, and thought of Torah and Mitzvahs, the Neshama gets to be connected to God himself, because the Torah and the Mitzvahs are one with God. And since God is all one, indivisible, his will is him, and his wisdom is him, so the Torah, which is the wisdom and will of God, is God himself. So that the Neshama itself, as high as it is in heaven, in its origin, is not as close to God as it can get through the fulfillment of the Torah and Mitzvahs, and the fulfillment of Torah and Mitzvahs is only through doing, speaking, and thinking. Now here the Alter Rebbe says that the Neshama needs Torah and Mitzvahs in order to get closer to God, because Hu Hayideya V'Hu Hamada, God is one and he is indivisible, so his wisdom and him are one and the same. His knowledge and himself is the same. He is the knower and the knowledge. And that is the virtue of Torah. Torah is God's knowledge, and it is one with him. But earlier, the Alter Rebbe quoted the same Rambam concerning the godly soul, and he said that the godly soul is one with God because the godly soul comes from God's knowledge, and God's knowledge and God are one and the same. So it's the same argument, the same reasoning. The neshama is one with God because it comes from God's thought, from God's chachma, and God's chachma is one with him. Here the Alter Rebbe is saying that this neshama needs to do Torah and mitzvahs in order to be connected to God, because the Torah is connected to God being God's wisdom, and God and his wisdom are one. So why should the neshama, which is itself connected to God through his wisdom, and his wisdom and he are one, why should this neshama need to be connected to God through Torah, because Torah is God's wisdom, and God's wisdom and himself are one? Also, we find the difference in the order. When the Alter Rebbe was talking about the neshama, he said that the neshama is connected to God because hu hamada v'hu hayedeya. He is the knowledge and he is the knower. Here the Alter Rebbe says concerning Torah that Torah is one with God because hu hayedeya v'hu hamada. First the knower and then the knowledge. So the explanation is that although the neshama comes from the wisdom of God, from chachma, yet it gets separated, it becomes a chelik elikam yimal, and so after being separated, it reconnects through Torah, but also it's a whole different level of oneness. When you say he is the knower and the knowledge, then you're talking about him. You're starting off with him, he is the knower, and then all that there is to know, and all the things that happen, and all the activity, the knowing, and the knowledge, and so on, is all him. But when you say he is the knowledge, and he is the knower, then you're giving a certain, ascribing a certain significance to the knowledge before you mention the knower. So it's like we recognize that there is knowledge, and then we realize that this knowledge is not anything separate from the knower, from God himself. So it's not as great a level as of oneness as the level of oneness of Torah. And therefore the neshama needs to attain that level of closeness to God, and it does it through the mitzvahs. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Ein Seif, and although God is endless, infinite, and no one can know him, his greatness can't be fathomed, and no thought can comprehend him. So the same should also be true of his will and his wisdom. Because we say that Torah is one with God, just as God is unknowable, Torah should also be unknowable. So what good is it that he studies Torah and tries to be connected to God through the study of Torah, when Torah is as unreachable as God himself? As we find, there is no searching his understanding, his wisdom, which is Torah. So God's chachma and God's thoughts are just as inaccessible as God himself. So what is the virtue of the study of Torah, and how does that get you closer to God? So concerning this, the sages say, "B'mokim shatam etz gedula sishal Hakadosh Baruch Hu, shom atam etz anvas nusi." That where you find God's greatness, there you find his humility. Meaning that what appears to us to be God's greatness is in fact an act of humility on God's part. So when we look at Torah and we see the wisdom and the endless brilliance in Torah, and we say that Torah is unfathomable and you can't really understand it and so on, what we're really seeing is an act of humility on God's part. Because Tzimtzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ritzeini V'Chachmosei, God contracted his will and his wisdom, B'Taryag Mitzvah HaTorah B'Hilchei Seyin, into the 613 mitzvahs of Torah and their laws. He also made himself available in the combination of letters that make up the written Torah, Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim, Tanakh, V'drashi Seihem, Sheba Agodes, and V'drashi Chachamei Nuzal, and in the explanations of the sages concerning the Psukim and the letters of Torah. B'chdei, God contracts himself in this manner, in order, Shekol HaNishama Eruach V'nefesh, Shebegufa Adam, so that every neshama that is in the body of a man, of a human being, Tuchal LaHasigon B'daita, should be able to understand godliness in its mind, in its wisdom, O L'Kaimon, and to fulfill them, Kol Masha Efshe L'Kayim Mehem B'maisa Dibra Mahshava. God makes himself available not only in the wisdom of the Torah, that he contracts his thought and his wisdom into the thoughts and the wisdom of Torah, but he makes himself available also in the combination of letters of the Torah and in the explanations of the Torah that the sages give us, and in the act of the mitzvah. That in the act of the mitzvah, a Jew can actually grasp godliness. And through this, the neshama clothes, invests all of its ten faculties into these three garments, and through that connects to Torah and mitzvahs, which connect him to God. And what the Rebbe will say later is that this contraction, this tzimtzum, is not that God conceals himself in Torah and mitzvahs. He doesn't withhold at all. Sometimes tzimtzum means withholding. That he filters out a certain part of himself that is too high and too great, and reveals only the external or the superficial, and that's called tzimtzum. Here the word tzimtzum is being used as taking the entire endless, infinite godliness and contracting it and making it all fit into this small space, so to speak, into the 613 mitzvahs. So it's infinite godliness in a finite number of mitzvahs. And what's more is that God contracts himself in such a way that he can be known, he can be experienced not only in intelligence, not only in the activity of the mind, but God can be known even in an act. And that's the true endlessness and infinity of God, that he has no restrictions whatsoever. Where a great teacher, the greatest of all teachers, can make himself understood even to the simplest student, the smarter the teacher, the lower he can bring his explanations. Like it says by Shlomo HaMelech, his greatness consisted of his ability to explain everything on 300 different levels, lower and lower. So the greater the wisdom of the teacher, the lower he can come. But even so, the teacher is inherently finite, and therefore he can explain himself even to the most minimal mind, even to the most simple mind, but only to a mind. He can't explain himself to a tree, to a stone. He can't make himself known in an act. He can only make himself known in seichel. God's infinity is that he has no restrictions whatsoever on his existence, and therefore he can make his existence present and felt not only in the mind through intelligence, but also in the hand through the act of a mitzvah, or in the foot through the act of a mitzvah, so that in the mitzvah itself, God makes himself available. The Hayem Yem for the Shchedesh Teves, the sixth day of Chanukah, is that Neyagim Asher Hayochid Mevarech Behalel Tchila V'Seif. Our custom is that the person who is davening without a minyan and he says Hallel, he makes the bracha of Hallel at the beginning and at the end. Gam biyomim she'ein gemrim behem es Hallel. Even on those days when only half the Hallel is said. Hanusach she'emrim, the nusach that we say in the Hallel, Hu yehallelucha Hashem Elokeinu kol ma'asecha. Not al kol ma'asecha. We leave out the word al. Of course, the meaning is totally different. Yehallelucha Hashem Elokeinu kol ma'asecha means that all the things that you do, that you've made, praise you. including the stones, the trees, and so on, when the other nusach is al kol ma'asecha, it means that we, the intelligent human beings, praise God for all the things that He had made. In our nusach, we emphasize the fact that even the stones praise God, that godliness is revealed even in a stone. Kol ha'tfilin me'nichem kedem musaf. We put all, whatever, as many tefillin as the person wears, it should be worn before musaf. So if you put on a bin atam's tefillin, you put it on before musaf. Aval ha'shiyurim lemdim achasim kol ha'tfilin. But the shiurim of chitas, we learn after the davening is over, after musaf.